It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, Satellite Guys, I hope you had a Merry Christmas, and welcome to another exciting edition of the SatelliteGuys.us podcast. I'm your host, Goalie Bob, and the man on the other side of the mic is Scott Gorkowski.
Hello, everybody. How was your Christmas, Bob?
Oh, it was pretty good. I got lots of good presents. I got some different toys. I got a couple games. I got UFC 2009 Undisputed, and I've been playing that and can't get away from the controllers.
No, actually, I didn't get no gifts this year from my wife, and we didn't do the gifts thing just because money's been kind of tight around here, and we're the kind of folks that when we want something, we go out and buy it anyway, so it's kind of hard to buy for each other, so it was actually better this way, I think, this year.
Well, you got to save up all that money for CES coming up next week anyhow, so you got to, you know, kind of set your priorities a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, but it was actually kind of nice because, you know, in the past years, since we do buy everything that we want normally, you know, when you get a Christmas gift, you have to act like you enjoy it, even though it may have not been something you wanted. So this year it was kind of nice just seeing the kids open up their gifts, and it was more relaxing that way. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Scott, but when we were opening up our Christmas gifts, we were listening to the Satellite Guys radio network with Christmas in the Heartland, and that was a wonderful gift that you gave to the Satellite Guys members, and the fact that they were able to contribute to the program there.
Yeah, we did Christmas Across the Lands. We purchased the rights to Christmas Across the Lands, and the show's host, Randy Sherwin, was generous enough to do all the intros for us and everything like that, and gave us a 12-hour Christmas program, which repeated over and over again. And instead of having commercials, what we did is we had Satellite Guys members call into a special number and leave voicemail messages for holiday greetings for everybody, and it went really, really well. Unfortunately, it's down for the year now because our rights for it have expired, but I'm going to look at doing it again next year because I think a lot of people enjoyed it, and it was very nice music to listen to. And Christmas Across the Lands also gave people the stories behind a lot of the music, and that made it a lot more interesting. To me, at least, it was interesting hearing how songs like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was originally recorded, and you know, they forced Gene Autry to do it, and he recorded in only 10 minutes because he wanted to get the hell out of the studio because it was hot in the summertime. I mean, that's a great story, and he didn't expect it to become a popular song, and it was his biggest seller of all time. The Christmas Across the Lands was also heard by the Armed Forces on the Armed Forces Radio Network and by the Canadian Armed Forces as well. So it was kind of neat having a program that's being heard globally around the world and having it be part of Satellite Guys.
Yeah, exactly. I know when I was a part of the Armed Forces, we depended upon the Armed Forces Network. And if anybody out there wants to give to the troops, go to USO.org, and that'd be a great way to extend a holiday greetings to the troops.
Yeah, yeah, and that was a great thing, and I enjoyed doing it, and I really want to thank Randy Sherwin for doing all the intros and little spots for us, you know, welcoming people to the Satellite Guys radio network.
Right. Yeah, Scott, you know, I just recently switched from UVerse, and it was pretty interesting switching from UVerse because of the fact that we have all these pricing updates coming out for various providers, and it was kind of a tough choice for me to select what provider I wanted based off this information. And I understand you actually have something brand new for us on the DirecTV side regarding price increases.
Yep, right before we went to podcast tonight, I've got a couple notifications here of new pricing going into effect from DirecTV, and it's actually from DirecTV, believe it or not. The new prices take effect on February 9th, 2010, and will appear on billing station statements issued after that date. Basically, the DirecTV pricing is going up anywhere from $3 to $5, and then numerous packages that you could buy today will not be available after February 9th, including Plus DVR and Plus HD DVR. In addition, DirecTV is raising the rates of their DirecTV DVR service to $7 a month.
That's kind of no surprise there. It seems like they're playing follow the leader somewhat with what Dish is doing in their price increases.
Well, Dish is doing it a little differently. And we'll get to that in just a second. But as I said, the prices are going anywhere from $3 to $5 a month. And it's kind of interesting because the document that I received here was actually created in November of 2009. So they knew about this price increase for a while.
That's really surprising, Scott, especially being the current economic climate. I'm totally disagreeing with all price increases this year. It should stay the same for one more year at least. But the thing is every year it seems like we get hit up with a $3 to $5 increase. Eventually, that's going to be a 50 to 100% increase once when it starts rolling around.
Yeah, if you'll stay around long enough, that will definitely happen sooner or later. And interestingly enough, the DirecTV usually does their price increases in March. And this one's happening on February 9th. And something interesting that's also happening on February 9th is DirecTV is dropping the XM satellite radio audio channels from their lineup and replacing them with SonicTap. SonicTap is really a DMX. I don't know if you remember digital cable with the DMX servers on it, but it's just DMX, just named SonicTap. And some interesting stuff there of what's going on with XM and DirecTV, since Liberty Media is such a big holder of SiriusXM.
Yeah, I remember DMX from way back in the Primestar days, and their service is not bad at all. But at the same time, there's been a lot of complaints about the whole SiriusXM merger that's happened and the fact that some people say the quality of the service has decreased from what it was in its glory days.
Yeah, I listen to both. I have SiriusXM in my truck and at my office. And I'm also able to access the DMX channels, and we're going to give a little giveaway here. But if you have a C-band satellite system, you can find all the DMX channels up there in the clear. But if you get a chance to listen to them, they're not too bad. Their music quality has improved over the years. But I don't know. I can't tell you if this is a step backwards for DirecTV or a step forward.
Yeah, I don't know. The judgment's still out on this one. And, you know, I really hope that DirecTV is starting to take the steps forward necessary to improve their product. And hopefully that'll begin with DirecTV 12 launching this week.
Yeah. Before we go to DirecTV 12, I always thought it was kind of silly for either satellite provider to give Sirius or XM to their customers for free. It kind of took away from people subscribing to the satellite radio service when they got it for free in their homes. In fact, a couple years ago, and the audio file is on Satellite Guys somewhere, if you search for Hugh Panero, XM, on Satellite Guys' website, you can hear it, where he talked about, this is before DirecTV launched XM on it, and he thought it was a stupid idea for XM to be available on DirecTV, and he gave his reasons for that. And it was kind of funny, just about 4 or 5 months after he told me that, it appeared on DirecTV. So I don't see why the satellite radio companies are giving away their product, and the heart of their product are the music channels. So as I said, I can't tell you if this is a step backwards or forwards for DirecTV, but some people are going to be very happy that all the chatty DJs are gone from SiriusXM, and then other people are going to be upset because some people like the programming. You know, me, I wake up on Sunday mornings, and the first thing I do is I turn on the 70s on 7 and listen to Casey Kasem doing the American Top 40 from the 70s. You know, I'm going to miss that, but I guess I can just log into my computer and listen to Sirius online. But I know some people are going to be happy and some people aren't.
Yeah, I was especially surprised when the satellite companies didn't offer the specialty channels like Howard Stern or Martha Stewart or the Oprah Channel. And I'm kind of surprised that they didn't offer that at an additional like $3.99 a month.
Yeah, I actually asked that at a Dish Network press conference at one of the CESs a couple of years ago, asking if Howard Stern was going to be available on Dish Network. And I asked that because I thought it would be smart of them to offer Howard Stern at a $2.99, $3.99 a month to be able to listen to his audio channels on your Dish Network subscription. And basically, a lot of people made fun of me for asking that question.
I don't know why. It makes sense. It's a moneymaker. Howard has a great following. If you've ever listened to him, you know he has millions upon millions of listeners out there. Think about that. 1.2 million listeners at $3.99 a pop. That's a great income source.
That is a great income source. But the way Howard Stern's been talking lately, he may not be at SiriusXM too much longer. He said the other day he's thinking about quitting. So it makes things kind of interesting. But Howard always says he's about to quit when it's time for his contract renewal time. And I don't think there's any place for him to go but stay on satellite radio. But I don't think he's going to get the $500 million payday he got before.
Yeah, I don't think he's been quite impressed with the recent stock, the way that SiriusXM stock has been performing as of late. It's 53 cents or something like that a share right now, and it was when he bought into it, it was at 4-something a share.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I like Howard Stern, but when he went on satellite radio, before when he was on terrestrial radio, he couldn't say certain things, and you had to build pictures of things going on in your head. And it made it more interesting. And now, when he has people in the studio and they're doing certain things, they just tell you exactly what's going on. And it kind of takes all the fun of it away. It takes the theater of the mind away. Personally, I'd like to see him back on terrestrial radio again because he was more fun to listen to because you had to use your mind to imagine what was going on in the studio. So that's my Howard Stern speech. But back to DirecTV. Their big Christmas wish this year is for a successful launch of DirecTV 12, and that's going to happen on the 28th at 7:22 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can watch that online, and I'll be watching online. You can check that out at ilslaunch.com, and we say go DirecTV 12.
Yeah, exactly. I really hope that DirecTV 12 gets off the ground successfully, unlike AMC 14. I hope so, because DirecTV customers really need the channels added on, and they really need something to be cheering about.
Rumor alert, I've heard that if DirecTV 12 successfully launches off, that sometime around February, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was February 9th, you're going to see a number of HD channels light up on DirecTV, not from the new satellite, but they're going to be using the space taken up by the NFL Sunday Ticket. And one of those channels is supposed to be ESPNU HD. I don't know what the other channels are, but they're planning on launching some additional high-def content as soon as they can, just as soon as they know that DirecTV 12 is up in the air and is a successful launch.
Yeah, I know right now the only thing that DirecTV really is lacking in is movie channels. I know they announced a long time ago that they would launch the whole entire HBO suit in high definition. That was 3 years ago. People are still waiting for it, so hopefully we'll find out, and hopefully they'll throw everybody a little bit of a bone.
Yeah, it should be interesting, and you know, more HD is good HD. I don't care what it is. Of course, you're going to hear people saying that, why did they waste the space on this channel? But my feeling is any HD is good HD. In fact, the only television I watch nowadays is high definition. I don't even watch the standard definition channels anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, earlier I was talking about the Dish price increase, and, you know, Scott, it just slipped my mind what exactly was going on with Dish and their prices increases. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's going on with that?
Yeah, as you Satellite Guys members know, we were the first to come out with the news about the Dish Network price increase. This price increase is supposed to simplify things for Dish Network, and unfortunately, up until now, it has caused more confusion. But that's okay from where I sit, because you know, some people were mad at us for releasing the information early and causing all this confusion, but it was really questions that Dish Network didn't even think about answering, and now they have answers in place. They're going to come out at CES next week, and they're going to announce that there is a from what I'm hearing, so let's put the rumor hat back on. They're going to announce that there going to be no programming price increase for 2010 with Dish Network. And they're going to be 100% correct there. There's going to be no programming price increase. However, what they're doing is they're taking all those frivolous little charges, DVR fees, additional outlet fees, telephone line fees, blah, 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 rolling them in to just one line on your bill. For example, if you have a 722 or 622, you're going to see a line on your bill called Dish Duo DVR, and it's going to be a $17 a month charge for those receivers. Now, that may sound like a lot, and it is a lot, but if you look around at cable companies, what they charge for HD DVRs, it's pretty comparable to those pricing, and the price really is not going up that much. The biggest group of people who are going to see the biggest price increase are people like me who have the America's Everything pack and have a lot of HD DVRs. I have six of them on my account. So my bill is going to go up about $30 a month. Most people's bills are going to go up anywhere from 2 cents to about $3 or $4 a month. I'm against the norm because I have six HD DVRs. So That's why my bill is going up so high. But I'm going to combat it, and I'm going to drop down to the America's Top 250 package, and I'm going to be end up saving myself $10 a month. So if they want to play the games and change things around, I'm all game for it. I don't watch the movie channels anyways. The only reason I had America's Everything package was because it offset the DVR fees. There were no additional DVR fees with that package. So it's $17 a month for dual DVR, $14 a month for a duo receiver, and solo class receivers will be $7. Now, for those of you with a Dish 501 or 508, those are not considered DVRs. Those are considered PVRs and will have no additional DVR service charge. Some people are worried about that. And another good thing is that there will only be one DVR charge on your bill instead of one for each DVR you have. So a lot of stuff going on there. It's really confusing, but it's really not as bad as it sounds.
Yeah, we're going to have to see how this all shakes out. Because I know on my account I have a 722K, and I also have some 211s that I have the external hard drive feature activated, so I can use them as a DVR.
Yeah, you're not gonna see any additional charges for that. Your 211 is gonna be charged at $7, and your 722 be at $17. But from what I understand, your first receiver is free, and they're going from the highest price receiver down. So you're only going to be paying $7 for the 211 if my information I'm getting from all kinds of Dish Network CSRs is correct.
So it might behoove you, if you want more than one DVR in your house, to go get a couple 211s and pay the $30 for the external DVR feature and DVR it up that way.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And again, it sounds confusing, but what they're doing is they're taking all those frivolous fees, and we always call Dish Network the nickel and dime company because they always had these additional fees for your receivers, and now they're just taking all of those fees and packaging them together into the receiver. It makes a lot of sense. It's supposedly going to make things more simple to explain to people. And for new customers, it's going to make a lot of sense. For us old timers, it's going to take some getting used to. But once you get used to it, I don't think it's going to be that bad. As I say, the only real people who are going to see a big price increase are people with a lot of HD DVRs and have America's Everything package. Now, another change they're making is that the Digital Home Protection Plan, which is called DHPP in the business, is going to be renamed a service plan and will cost $6 a month. Up until now, if your satellite receiver broke down, you'd call into Dish Network, they'd add DHPP onto your account. You would then, and then they would replace the receiver for you for free, only for shipping. And once you got the new receiver in, you call up Dish Network and cancel the DHPP. And, you know, it didn't cost you anything for it. Dish has caught on to this little trick here. And effective on January 1st, it looks like, January 1st, they're going to charge you a $25 cancellation fee. So they really want you to keep that service plan on your account. And just another thing to let you know about the service plan is that any service plan call that requires a technician to come to your house, there'll be a $15 charge. Well, gas costs money, so I can't really blame them on that one. And if you don't have a service plan, the cost will be $95 for a technician to visit. So, you know, really look at your account there and decide whether you want to spend these $6 a month for the service plan, or if you think you can wing it and hopefully you don't have any $95 service charges coming down the line.
Yeah, I've always kept it on my account just in case. I always felt that I had a peace of mind there when I had it, but if you're a true satellite guy like me, you really don't need it unless you have bad equipment.
Yeah, yeah, and I thought I had a bad receiver the other day, but it turned out to be a bad piece of coax that somehow got water into it and expanded in the snow and ice out here, and replaced that piece of coax and fixed it. I really thought my tuners were gone in the 622, so glad that worked out. But that's what's happening with the new Dish Network pricing plan. You've seen some sites make fun of me because I released this information. We want you, as satellite guys, to make informed decisions on where to spend your money and to know what's happening down the line. We're not one of these websites that waits for a press release to come out and then talk about it. We want you to know what's going to happen before it happens, so that way you can make educated decisions on how you spend your money. You know, just because they have no insight or clue what's going on in the industry doesn't mean that I should be forced to be quiet and keep quiet about things like pricing changes and new hardware and things like that, because I think it's important for you as consumers to know what's really going on in the industry, again, so you can better decide how to spend your dollar.
Yeah, exactly, Scott. In fact, Satellite Guys is the only site that I'm aware of that sends multiple staff to CES every year. It's the staff does it on their own dime. It's not anything that is paid for by Satellite Guys. And the staff that we have is really wonderful because of the fact that they spend and volunteer their time to make sure that you are informed. And speaking of CES this year, I know you're going, Scott. I'm not going because of the economy issue, but hopefully we'll find out a lot what's going on. And, you know, I don't know if CES is going to be as good as it was a couple years past, but if everything's dictating, this year might be a dud.
Yeah, that's what all signs are pointing to. One thing I want to mention about the staff, while we'd love to pay for them to go, we just don't have the finances. And over the past couple of years here, we've been giving them a little bit of money, thanking them for coming in. And we've also been taking care of a lot of their dining experiences. And as Goalie Bob once said, they ate like kings for a week. we went to the top of the Stratosphere last year and had dinner up there, and that was an amazing night.
Oh, the view was amazing.
Yeah, yep. The dinner was great. The view was amazing. We took them to another place called Texas D Brazil, which was a Brazilian barbecue place, and that's where we ate like kings, Bob. And, you know, our staff is all volunteers. We thank them very much, and we try taking care of them the best we can with the budget that we have. And, you know, nobody has to go to CES. Nobody forces them to. And they come out and do it because they want to bring you guys, the Satellite Guys members, all the best news and information from the Consumer Electronics Show. And by the way, since there's not going to be much satellite stuff there this year, if there's anything you want to see us cover, we're going to be opening up our CES forum soon. Please let us know in there what you'd like to see covered from CES, and we'll do our best to get around in there if we can find it.
You know, Scott, I'm still stuffed from Texas Day Brazil last year. I mean, if anyone's ever been there, oh my God, this place is awesome. They will literally keep throwing meat on your plate until you tell them to stop, and they still keep coming.
Yep. it was just a great place, and again, we thank our staff for going out there, but this year I'm not really looking for too much, unfortunately, from the satellite industry. DirecTV's not going to be there. I talked to TiVo. It doesn't sound like the new DirecTV TiVo is going to be shown at CES, so that's kind of disappointing in its own sense. But Dish Network will be there. Still waiting for my invite to the Dish Network press conference. We may have to crash that one, but we're looking forward to it. And, you know, the satellite companies need to understand that when we do these events like CES, we're doing so not only to educate the consumer, but to promote the satellite industry. And we do it on our own dime. And one of the things that disappoints me most about CES, Bob, and I don't know how you feel about this, is it takes me a good 3 or 4 weeks to get ready for the Consumer Electronics Show. And really, we do all this work in preparation for what amounts to a 20-minute press conference, and then standing on the floor hoping somebody will talk to us. And it's kind of disappointing when they should know that we're there to help promote them.
Yeah, sometimes it is disappointing, but when you're able to talk to Charlie or talk to Jim DeFranco or somebody from Dish Network, that makes it a little bit more smoothing and everything, knowing that they're willing to stand behind their product and be able to talk to us. But we don't get that quite often, as a lot of people think. 9 out of 10 times, we have to kind of pudge them around a little bit just to make sure that they know that we're there to be able to give them the good word that they want.
Yeah, they're one group. You know, they get unhappy when I release things before they're ready to release it. But again, you know, we're looking to inform consumers out there to make the best decision for them. We're a consumer website run by consumers for consumers, and we're looking out for consumers. If they don't want people to get mad about stupid things they're doing, they shouldn't be doing the stupid things they're doing. That's my feeling on that. And with that, I'll say I'm getting ready for CES. It's going to be interesting. We're doing a bunch of different things this year as far as equipment-wise. Picked up a special device where I can put my iPhone into it, and it actually turns it into a video camera. And it's got handles on it, so you can hold it, and it's got a light on it, and it's got different lenses on it. And it works really well. And we'll be able to send video from the show floor pretty much instantaneously after we shoot it. Of course, that's all depending on the AT&T network in Las Vegas. Last year, it had a lot of issues, huh, Bob?
Yeah, well, everyone's having issues with AT&T's network lately, but yeah, it's, the networks there, they crash so quickly. It's not even funny because you have so many media and so many journalists trying to get onto the network to get their stories out. It's just absolutely insane.
Yeah. Well, one interesting thing I read tonight is that, and I applaud AT&T for this, if this is true, but Gizmodo is reporting that AT&T has stopped selling the iPhone in New York because of it's so overcrowded, their network is so bad there that the iPhone experience is really not a good one there. And if that is true, I really applaud AT&T because part of the reason their network sucks so bad is because they oversold it. You know, you see all these great Apple ads on TV with the iPhone showing you can do this, there's an app for that. Every single one of these things requires data connection to do it. And realistically, by everything that the AT&T spokespeople are saying, if you're doing all those things that are being shown in the commercial, you're abusing the AT&T network, and their network can't handle all that. Whose fault is that? Is that mine because I bought into the ads they have on TV? Or is it AT&T's for not saying, oh my God, we got too many people on our network and need to stop selling until we get our network up in gear? And it's really good to see them stopping selling in New York City until they get their network situation a little more straightened out there.
Yeah, I think Apple's kind of seen the light at the end of the tunnel, and rumor alert, put it on the rumor hat. It's word is there's an iPhone coming to Verizon in June, and it's got a 5-megapixel camera. Now, if that pans out to be true, I think there's got to be a lot of happy iPhone users out there.
Hopefully. I heard that the granddaddy iPhone that we all know today is still going to be an AT&T exclusive, and that the Verizon one is going to be a little watered down. It won't have Wi-Fi in it, a couple other things. So if you want the really good iPhone, you got to go with AT&T still. But, you know, finally, though, somebody at AT&T is, you know, getting it and saying we need to stop selling this thing until we improve our network. And people in New York aren't happy that they can't get an iPhone, but what really good is an iPhone if you can't use it?
Yeah, I kind of think that Fake Steve Jobs helped with that. And if those of you that don't know, fakestevejobs.net is a fake iPhone blog of the Steve Jobs. It's not real, and it's a farce. And they held a he brought up an idea of let's go attack AT&T's network, basically to show them you guys need to improve your network. And that really this past week has brought the light out there of how bad AT&T's network is.
Yeah, and AT&T's network is really not that bad. I believe that the iPhone has a glitch in it, and it's not accessing the data network as fast as it can. Because I know people with AT&T data cards, and they're getting great rates from it. Gizmodo just did a test around the country of Wi-Fi, not Wi-Fi, but 3G network data network providers, and they went through. Actually, it was all cell phone providers in the United States, and AT&T came out on tops there. So it could be an it could be an iPhone issue there causing some of the speed hiccups, but still, AT&T needs to take the blame for what's going on with their network and really overselling it.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, Scott, that's music.
Yep, everybody, have a safe and happy New Year. Don't drink and drive, okay? If you're going to go out and drink, make sure you got some place to stay or somebody to drive you home, all right?
All righty, and take care.
Happy New Year!
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.